Mom, how come fish don't drown?
When it's your turn to be the teacher, why not use the computer more teachers use?
Hello, and welcome to the Colcast Best 30 Plus Minute Album Conversation. You're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Aaron Elijah. Join me today, we got a new guy. He's a longtime Colton Mack writer, and since Leander's off writing his book, he's now our replacement British guy, Killian Bell is here. Hello, Gab.
Hi, guys.
Welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Also joining us, he's not too short, he's not too tall, he's not too big, he's not too small. He's medium-sized, Lewis Wallace.
I like to think that I'm just right.
Wait a second. Did I already do this intro? I feel like I wrote a lyric about you before.
Do, 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 do.
And then you said that exact same thing at the end.
Well, you know, deja vu is a medically proven event.
Welcome to the Cultcast, everyone. We have so much good stuff to talk about this show. I'm honestly not even sure we're going to be able to work it all in. So here's what we got on the docket. There is a surprise Apple event that was just announced. And of course, they gave everyone no time to prepare. It's going to be on March 27th, which is next week. This is going to be an education event, which hasn't happened in a long time. I think it's been, does anyone know, 3 years, I think?
I think it was 2012. It was a while ago. I cannot remember now, the last education event.
I would be very surprised if we didn't see new hardware announced at this event. So we'll talk a little bit about our expectations here. Also, we're going to keep this very interesting. I know this is going to sound very boring, but I'm going to tell you why it's going to be a big deal. You could be seeing a huge upgrade coming to the screens of future Apple products. We're going to talk about the next generation of screen technology, which is called micro LED, which I personally think is very exciting. And I was telling Lewis this before the show, I'm going to clench my butt, firm up my diaphragm. I'm really going to project, and I'm going to make this as interesting as possible. I'm going to tell you why micro LED, the future of displays, is going to be exciting for you as well. And we have to talk about iPhone X pricing. We've talked about this before. It seems like the iPhone X is just not selling well. And analysts keep saying it's because the price is just too damn high. And I think I agree. The price of phones has gotten to be so ridiculous that even I'm questioning whether or not to buy the higher tier phones because I don't want to spend $1,400 on a phone. It looks like consumers might agree. Killian and I are going to talk about this. And then if you stay around to the end, we're going to have a very fun, interesting discussion about the phenomenon of Fortnite. You've probably heard that word. You probably have heard of the game. It is the game that everyone is playing now. It was just released for iOS, and Killian wrote a piece about it on Colton Mack. He's going to tell us what he thinks about it, how it compares to the PC version and the console version. And we're going to talk about the esports aspect of Fortnite. There was this article recently about this guy who plays Fortnite. His name is Ninja. I think he's like 26 years old. He's one of the most popular Twitch broadcasters out there right now. He streams almost entirely Fortnite these days. And I'll tell you how much he makes playing Fortnite every month. And you won't believe it. I can't believe how much people are making playing video games these days. It's become like a professional sport. I mean, I think there's probably actual professional sports players who don't make as much as these guys playing video games. Like, if you're in the major league, if you're like in Major League Baseball, there's no way you're making this much money unless you're like one of the top players. So we'll talk about that. Before we jump into the news, let me go ahead and say thank you to Pitney Bowes for supporting this episode. No matter what you send her or how often, Pitney Bowes has your sending solution. You can print postage from your office, take advantage of special discounts, such as saving 3 cents per letter, and up to 39% off USPS shipping rates. It adds up quick, I'm telling you. Plans start as low as $5 per month. Visit pb.com/cultcast to learn more and sign up for a free trial. That's pb.com/cultcast. Terms apply. See the site for details. Also want to thank Squarespace, whom I love dearly and I use and I pay for every single month. Squarespace is the place to go if you need a website. Maybe you want to promote your physical or online business, promote yourself to potential employers. If you're a college student, I always say this is one of the best ways to get a job. Have an awesome website. And then sell products, services of all kind, announce an upcoming event or special project. You can do all this all by yourself and manage it all by yourself with no help from any developer. You want to pay anyone to help you at squarespace.com. That's because Squarespace gives you beautiful templates designed by world-class designers, powerful e-commerce functionality lets you sell anything online, and now they have Apple Pay integration so you can accept Apple Pay, built-in search engine optimization, 24/7 award-winning customer support. Everything is optimized for mobile right out of the box. You build one site and it looks great on any device that visits. Do this. Head on over to squarespace.com, build a website. It will take you mere moments. You'll have a website up in no time. Use the free trial, build your site, and if you like what you have, at the end of the trial, use code CULTCAST at checkout. You'll get 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. And if you order a year of service, you get an additional discount, plus you get a free domain at squarespace.com. Lewis.
Yes, sir.
I'm going straight to you for this one. The education events, your thoughts.
Wow, yeah. So the invites are out. It's happening next Tuesday, March 27th.
Did Leander get his invite yet?
Leander did get an invite, and I told him immediately, book a flight. Oh, I don't know if he has because he's working on a book. Because
he's the world's worst procrastinator.
Yeah, maybe he'll probably like get in his little smart car Monday morning at 3 a.m. and just start driving, barreling straight to Chicago.
Meanwhile, he'll be trying to dictate his book to Siri, trying to write it on the way in the car.
Yeah, it's going to be a masterpiece, that one.
That's a good thing Killian's writing it.
Teamwork.
That's right, that's what they call that.
I don't know if Leander's going, if maybe we might send somebody else, or if we're just not going to make it to it.
Send Buster.
Sure.
He can cover the whole thing from his iPhone.
Well, David Perrini's not very far from there. You know, he's in Minnesota, so.
Oh, well, shoot. Send him on over. Somebody's got to go.
Right?
You can't say no. You got to go.
I know. I'm glad you bring this up, because I got to follow up with Leander and force him to make a decision.
Because you know they're probably going to announce at least a new MacBook Pro.
Yeah, well, it's MacBook Air. It's hard to say. I mean, and right now it's not clear if this event's going to be live streamed like Apple has been doing with all of its events. I mean, it seems kind of crazy that they wouldn't, since it's basically
apparently
like, you
it's
know.
Not.
Well, have you heard actually no, it is not. I have just heard nothing.
Yeah, well, I saw, I think it was Macworld that reported that they're not going to stream it. But if it's in a high school, then you've got to think they probably won't have the technology to broadcast it to so many people.
Well, I also read that this is like a really high tech high school, and you know, like you know, do they even need? Does that really matter? Can they roll a couple of trucks up outside the back to do
yeah,
it?
Yeah, you would think they could do that, right? At the very least.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's. I have not heard definitively one way or another. If nothing else, you know, people will be talking about it on Twitter and live blogging and whatever. And undoubtedly, Apple will post the video later in the day or, you know, the next day if it's not live streamed.
It'll be like the keynotes of yore where you had to go to a media outlet and listen to them type it all out or like 160 characters or less. And it's riddled with errors, and there's people taking pictures and stuff. And then Tim Cook has to get mad at everyone because they're eating up all the bandwidth and ask them to turn their devices off of Wi-Fi. It's going to be like that. It would be totally bizarre if they don't live stream this entire event, especially from a high-tech high school that seems like it would have the infrastructure in place to actually, you know, support a live broadcast like that.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like they'd be missing a big opportunity. But, you know, then again, it's an education-themed event, right? So, I mean, there might be a lot of stuff that's maybe not all that super compelling to your average person.
Cheaper. I think they're going to announce cheaper hardware. That's generally the focus of Apple education products, right? Is their affordability, because schools never have enough money to actually buy nice equipment.
Yeah, but so, then there's this new ClassKit framework that they're going to be rolling out. I mean, that's going to be the star of the show, I suspect. This is something that's like HomeKit or HealthKit or any other things Apple does. It's a framework for building educational apps, and so if you think about all the other things they do, where they okay, you know, here's the new software platform. You know, they've probably got several developers who've got these special apps that they've built using it that they'll showcase at this, right? And they'll bring them up and say, "Hey, look how great this is!" And you know, your little time in the spotlight, right? So, and the so you know, education apps, whatever. I mean, that's awesome, and Apple loves to do this kind of thing. Maybe not the biggest general interest type of a product or a unveiling, right? But there is good news, like you're saying, for you know normal people or people who aren't teachers or students. For one thing, ClassKit is built into iOS 11.3. And that probably means that we are going to get that like next week. And that that brings some good stuff with it, you know, like the battery functionality we've been talking about. It lets you, you know, see how healthy your battery is in your older phone and gives you opportunity to turn off throttling if that's in fact in place. New Animoji for iPhone 10, business chat on iMessage, other you know, bunch of other tweaks.
Just as, what schools need, business chat. All the right. Teachers are high-fiving.
Yeah, that's like, I mean, that's the thing. That's they're not going to get up there and talk about that at this event, right? Yeah. It's an education event at a school. But this is what we get, you know, the people who aren't in school.
But I think we're gonna get a new MacBook Air. MacBook Air.
That's the other big rumor is a big right. MacBook Air update that might even come down as low as price is like $799. There's also a lot of talk about a new, less expensive iPad, like a iPad that could drop down to $259. You know, that's definitely something that students and families, you know, got a couple of kids in school. That would be nice. And also, you know, Apple's famous for making these deals with school districts, right? Mm-hmm. A lot easier for them to stomach a $259 iPad than, you know, or 100 $259 iPads than a $500 iPad. So
also, because of the calligraphy on the invitation, the beautiful calligraphy, I can't say that word for some reason. I think they're going to announce support for the Apple Pencil on the full range of, well, on the new iPad, and then also going forward on the full range of iPads. Because right now it's currently only supported on the iPad Pro models. But why would they have that beautiful calligraphic Apple on there if there wasn't going to be some sort of writing element involved?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it may be that they roll out a new Apple Pencil. I mean, we've been hearing about updates for that for a while. Mm-hmm. To me, it seems a little nutty to think that they're going to roll out a really cheap iPad and it's also going to have the ability to use an Apple Pencil. I mean, if they can do that, fantastic. But my understanding is that it requires a certain kind of technology that costs more, and that's why it's not in every iPad right now.
Maybe that the cost of those components has come down enough though, where they can start integrating it to cheaper.
Maybe they can make it happen.
Cheaper iPads.
And maybe they'll make an Apple Pencil that has a flat side so it doesn't roll off your desk and break.
Oh, does that happen to you?
No.
Wait a second.
Just kidding.
How big is the fall from your desk to your floor?
I'm so tall that the desk.
No, we know that you're medium size, so it can't be that much of a drop.
Yeah.
2-3 feet max. Okay, well, since we're already talking about screen technology, let's switch gears a little bit. Let's talk about how your future Apple devices could be getting a huge upgrade. This was a screen upgrade, I should say. This was a big story this week. It was all over Bloomberg and then, of course, a bunch of other sites as well. So micro-LED is the new cool screen technology that everyone is excited about. And there is apparently a factory, a warehouse, an underground lair that Apple has set up in California where they are currently working on this technology and trying to build it and make it in a way where they can make it cheaply and integrate it into upcoming Apple devices. And this got me thinking, well, you know, I know a little bit about micro LED, but why is it so exciting? Why is everyone so excited about this technology? So let me talk about what's so great about it. So first of all, currently most of the screens that you see out there are LCDs and they are cheap to manufacture and they perform well over a long period of time. It's basically a panel of liquid crystal and it's illuminated these days primarily by LEDs in the background. But because they have that bright light in the background shining through the screen, colors can look washed out, especially black colors. That's one of the biggest weaknesses of LCD screens is the blacks just never look fully black because you have light coming through it, so it always looks kind of murky. Well, the iPhone X has an OLED display, And OLEDs are superior in the way the pixels are illuminated because they can each self-illuminate when exposed to electrical current. There's no need to have a backlight. So this results in much better contrast ratios, more saturated color, and the best black levels you can get, because when you want true black, the pixel can just shut itself off and no light comes through at all, so you get actual black. But OLEDs suffer from a lot of problems. They're not very bright, and also one of the big problems, and this is especially true in the TV market, is OLEDs suffer from burn-in. So if you have an image on the screen for too long, when the image changes, it's still burned into the screen. You'll still kind of see like a phantom apparition still there on the screen, almost like a shadow. And sometimes that burn-in is permanent, so it ruins your screen. And even like the most expensive LG OLED TVs, which are the most popular ones out there right now, suffer from this. So they always tell you, if you play video games and any part of your screen has some type of logo or graphics that doesn't move, so if there's something on the screen that just stays in place the entire time that you're gaming, that can get burned in, and then you could stop playing video games, go change the channel, and watch a completely different, you know, content, and you'll still see that burned in logo there in your screen. So we need a new technology. Well, micro LED is kind of the best of both worlds. It consists of a bunch of tiny, like microscopic, I don't know if they're microscopic, but they're very small LEDs, and they can turn themselves on and off, so you can get actual blacks, but they can also be very bright. In fact, they're up to 30 times brighter than OLED TVs. So because this technology is the best of both of the visual worlds right now, Apple is trying to work these micro LEDs into their future screens. And apparently, they have a factory where they're working on this in California, as I mentioned. Apple's micro LED project is codenamed T159. Ooh. And it is reportedly being overseen by Apple veteran Lin Youngs, who helped develop the touchscreens for the original iPhone and iPad. Back in 2014, Apple acquired LuxView Technology, a company that specializes in micro LED-based displays for consumer electronics. And that acquisition could be driving the micro LED technology for Apple and helping them to integrate it and make it something that they can actually manufacture, because right now it's very expensive to actually create these screens. So the question is, when will we see this tech? Well, it could be 2 to 3 years out. Apparently, Apple hasn't perfected it yet, but if they do integrate it into a device, my guess is they're going to start it with the Apple Watch, because the Apple Watch is small, so they can create a small version of the screen, right? And also, the Apple Watch was the first gadget from Apple to have an OLED display, because it's so small. I think it's just easier for them to create the screens. So my guess is maybe Apple Watch 5 is going to be the first device. Maybe Apple Watch 4. That seems a little close, though, since we're going to get it probably in the fall. Apple Watch 5 might be the first device to get the micro LED technology. And of course, this is going to expand way beyond Apple. This is going to be the new best display technology. It's going to be in screens everywhere, iPads, monitors, televisions especially. And I'm looking forward to it, because I've been meaning to buy a new TV for years, but I can't find one that I've fallen in love with. Let's put it that way. And I was on the verge of buying OLED, but the burn-in technology, or the burn-in issues that they have, it dissuaded me, because a lot of people report that after owning the TV for a year or two, that their TV starts displaying stuff that they watched, and they're not even watching that same content anymore, but it's burned into the screen. And I'm like, for a $3,000 TV, you should not be having that problem. It should be perfect. $3,000?
It's like a flashback to, you know, the 70s or something. I mean, I remember when that happened with regular old TVs. I can't believe that it – well, I can believe it. I can't imagine how sick you'd feel if that happened to you.
Right? You have a $2,500, $3,000 TV, and then you're watching it one day and you realize that your Forza, you know, logo is burned into the bottom right corner.
Yeah.
And it's not covered by warranty.
I think it's a lot less likely to happen with your phone, though. Most of the OLED smartphone displays are so good at preventing burn-in. I mean, it'll be a couple of years before we know how good the iPhone X is, but it seems like Apple's is one of the best at preventing that.
I think Apple the iPhone 10 might actually be the best display at preventing it. There was a study, I forget the website that did this, but didn't they say you'd have to have the same image on your screen for like 514 hours?
Yeah.
For it to actually get burned into your screen, which is unbelievable because, again, the LG televisions, you could probably get burn in. This is totally anecdotal. I don't know how long it takes with the LG televisions, but I have read in many forums that people are seeing it after 10 to 20 hours.
Wow.
So I don't know what Apple is doing to prevent the burn in, but I don't know if anyone is doing it better than Apple is.
I think it makes a big difference that obviously you have your TV on for hours at a time, whereas, you know, you might use your phone for a couple of minutes and then you turn it off and it's back in your pocket. So I think that makes a big difference.
It might, but again, that website left the phone on for like 500 plus hours with the image just sitting on the
That's
screen
crazy.
And it didn't get burned in. Yeah, so Apple's doing something special for sure. Well, as long as we're on the topic of iPhone 10, Killian, which iPhone 10 do you have?
I've got the 64 gig, the same as you.
Me too. And how much did it cost in jolly old England?
I think it was bang on £1,000.
Oh, so same price for you as it was for us, although your money's worth more than our money.
Yeah.
And how would you feel about a $1,400 iPhone? Because that's how much it costs for the top tier model after taxes here in the United States.
I just think it's too expensive for a smartphone.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at how much it is over here on contract, you can't really, you have to pay at least £100 up front. And then if you don't want to pay any less than that, you're paying £70 a month over 2 years for service. Mm-hmm. So that brings the total cost of the 64 gig phone to just under $1,800. And I just think that's way too expensive for a phone. And you can get an iPhone 8 for just over £1,000. And then if you're looking at the iPhone 8, you've got to think, well, is it worth upgrading if you've already got a 7? So I don't think it's too surprising that we're seeing so many reports about iPhone 10 demand being in the gutter.
I find this hard to believe because this phone was so hyped when it first came out.
Yeah, and it did well at first, I think, because so many Apple fans were waiting for it, and you know, there's a lot of people out there like us who couldn't wait to get our hands on it. But now that initial hype has died down, you know, we're left with consumers who aren't as excited to get it as we are, and are probably a bit more careful with their money, and they just can't justify that price tag.
It died down so fast, though. It was like a flash in the pan. And I have to say, from previous hardware, so we always have a swell in our numbers whenever we have new hardware. People download the episode more often because they're interested in hearing what Apple did. Some of you listen every week. Some of you just tune in when there's new products. And for the iPhone 10, we didn't have nearly as big of a swell as we had for previous Apple products. It did seem like some people were very hot on it, but many people just were lukewarm. They just didn't really seem to care. And I do wonder if that has anything to do with the price, or how much it has to do with the price, I should say, or if they just didn't find it to be a compelling device. I've reached my limit. I talked about this last week, and I hate to be the guy who brings this up, but Apple products are getting to be so gosh darn expensive. Excuse the language. I mean, the computers, the top-of-the-line MacBook Pro now, I said this last week, I'm sorry I'm saying it again, but with tax, it's $3,000. I cannot stomach that price. It's too high for me. Same with a phone. $1,000 for a phone, I can handle. That's the upper threshold for me. $1,200 would probably be my absolute maximum. It would have to be, you know, 512 gigabytes of storage. It'd have to have an Intel i8 chip in it or something, you know. It'd have to be a monster truck in order for me to buy it. Otherwise, my max is $1,000. But $1,400 for a phone, that is more expensive than most people spend on their actual computer. And it doesn't make sense to me to sell a phone for $1,400 when it can't do nearly as much as an actual computer can do. And if Leander were here, he'd be saying, "Oh, come on! It can do everything a computer can do. You know, you can make movies on it. You got GarageBand. You can edit podcast episodes. Yes, it will, in a limited capacity, do most of the things that a computer can do. But again, it's in a limited capacity. It can't do things the same way, in the same sophisticated way that a computer can do them. And so I just can't stomach a $1,400 iPhone. And I think Apple has gotten the message, don't you think, Killian?
I do, yeah. We've seen two reports this week from two different analysts with different firms who say that it's stagnated now. Sales are going to be flat throughout the year and could even drop. So I agree. I think it's just too expensive, and it's just reached that threshold where people just aren't willing to pay that.
I mean, are you guys with me on the price of the MacBook Pros too? Does it not seem like it's just ridiculously high?
Well, you know, think about this though. I mean, Apple exists in a world, you know, in Silicon Valley, where, I mean, everything is so expensive here. I mean, it's like, if anything, they're like out of touch with people who live in Ohio or something like that, you know, because,
yeah, definitely.
I mean, $3,000, if you're pulling down $150,000 a year, yeah, what's the big deal, you know? You're paying $4,000 a month in rent for your little crappy Silicon Valley apartment, right? Mm-hmm. I see what you mean, and I definitely feel it. I mean, I agree with you. They're very expensive products, but they're also really good, and they also last for a really long time. I mean, I think probably the bigger problem with these smartphones, aside from just like, oh my God, it's so much money, is like, oh, well, you know what? That iPhone 7 is still really damn good, and it costs a fraction of it. So, I mean, the people that I talk with and hang around with, you know, I don't know if I know anybody outside of Cult of Mac who has an iPhone 10. I mean, surely there must be somebody among my, you know, incredibly broad circle of friends. But mostly people are just like, oh, you know, I got a new phone. I'm like, oh, what'd you get? Get a 10? Oh, you know, I got a 7 Plus. It's, you know, it only cost me $400. It's like, okay, well, I can get it, especially considering you're going, oh, well, you know, what if I drop it? I mean, the phones do, the recent phones do get the job done for whatever, you know, whatever you're trying to do. I mean, they're not as nice as the iPhone 10, but they're perfectly serviceable.
They're pretty close, though.
And when you drop them in a toilet, you don't lose so much, right?
Which Lewis does often.
Well,
and
yeah,
not always by accident.
One of the dangers of the job. But, you know, the other thing, though, that I would say in defense of the pricing is that, yeah, Apple has that iPhone subscription program, right? Or whatever. I never remember the exact name of it. But, I mean, that's what I did. And it's like, okay, $50 a month. I mean, my wife has an iPhone 7. Hers is $45 a month. You know, so it's not that much difference in price to go ahead and get the one you want if you go onto that iPhone upgrade program. That's what it's called.
I honestly don't know what I have against that program. I don't like the idea of leasing my phone, but I get a new phone every year anyway.
You're not leasing it. You're paying for it over time with zero interest, and you're in queue to get the next one whenever it comes out. I mean,
yeah, but when you trade it in, they don't give you any credit for your phone. They just take it from you and they give you a new one and they put you back on the exact same payment plan.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I mean, I would never lease a car, but somehow I don't mind leasing a phone because, I mean, otherwise my tendency is to do what other people do, which is use the thing until it just doesn't work anymore or I break it or drop it in the toilet. And so it's I don't know. To me, it's a way to always have the latest, greatest thing. And I don't know, $50 a month. I mean, I use the iPhone. I use that more than probably anything else in the world. Don't you?
I mean, yeah,
it's like maybe the essential thing that I own in my life. I maybe that's sad, but it's true.
I agree. I love my phone. I use my phone all the time, as many of you often do whenever you're doing anything. Even when I go pee now, like if I'm at the urinal, I'm on my iPhone.
See, now there
TMI?
You go. You could drop it in the toilet.
I'm going to accidentally Instagram my schlong, but
the tinkle tax.
Yeah, because sometimes I'm just sitting there browsing Instagram, mindlessly peeing. I'm going to get myself into trouble. But I still prefer my computer. I love my Mac, and you can do so much more on a Mac. And I'm sure you can relate to this. You'll be wanting to shop or do something, and you're trying to do it on your iPhone, and it's just not working. And you just are like, I wish I were on my Mac. I wish I could just do this on my Mac. It'd be so much easier if I could just do this on my Mac. And so I have, even though I use my phone more often, I would say I love my Mac more than I love my iPhone, because I'm more of just a computer person. Like, if I had to just have one device, if I had to get rid of all my technology and I could only keep one device, I can make a pretty strong case that I would go with my MacBook Pro and give up my iPhone.
You could need a pair of shorts with a really gigantic pocket.
Yeah, well, that would be a product that I could manufacture and sell to other people who just use their MacBook Pro. Anyway, let me read the rest of the story. So let's see here. Where were we? So the iPhone's $1,000 price tag has been hard to swallow for a lot of customers, as we just mentioned. According to a new report, Apple has managed to reduce its manufacturing bill of materials for the iPhone X down to a much lower price amount, I should say, than it is paying currently. And so there are reports that because people are unwilling to pay the higher prices because Apple has been able to reduce their manufacturing costs, the new iPhone, the one that gets released next year, could be significantly cheaper than the one that we paid for this year, which is going to put everyone who purchased their phone in a really bad spot because you're going to lose a ton of value overnight. Here's what I think they're going to do. I think that the plus-sized iPhone X, this is next year's model, is going to be the same price as this year's iPhone X. They're going to be able to justify the extra expense because you'll have a larger screen. I think the iPhone X, the price of the iPhone X that you paid, next year, the regular iPhone X, not the one with the big screen, will be the price of the iPhone 8 Plus. So it's going to be premium, but it's not going to be as expensive as it is now. And then there will be an LCD version. There are reports that there will be an LCD version iPhone. And I think that one will have the pricing of like a regular iPhone 8. Does that make sense? Or did you guys just go cross-eyed?
I think that makes perfect sense.
Okay, wonderful. Well, it made sense to Lewis.
What kind of genius are you?
Well, I did write it all out and I can still barely say it, but there you have it. So I do think the prices of the phone are going to drop. I keep holding out the prices of the MacBook Pro are going to drop too, because I don't think people love the touch bar. They just don't. It's a cool feature, but is it a Mac selling feature? Is it a feature that people love? I just don't think so. And Apple is currently charging a premium for it. So hopefully we'll see a drop in price on the MacBook Pro too. Okay, let's go ahead and get into our Fortnite discussion. Killian, Fortnite came out on iOS this week, right? And it completely blew your mind. You've been playing it nonstop. You're going to be the next ninja. Tell us about it.
If only. Yeah, I've been completely addicted to it. It's what's
to
great
Fortnite
about
or to
it?
The iOS version?
Well, to the iOS version, really. Okay. I played Fortnite quite a bit before, but the iOS version just makes it so much more accessible. You don't need to, you know, when you've only got 20 minutes spare, you can have a game and you haven't got to load up the PlayStation or you know, your PC. And what's amazing about it is you've got it's the exact same game. You get the same game and the same experience on your iPhone than you do on console and PC.
Now that is crazy. I couldn't believe that when I was reading your article.
Yeah, and because it's the same game, you can even team up with your friends on PlayStation and PC and take part in exactly the same matches from
your phone. Sounds like a terrible idea, honestly, Killian. Really bad idea. You're going to get destroyed. If you're going up against guys playing on PC, you're not going to have fun.
No, I definitely wouldn't recommend that yet. But they have promised that controller support's coming, so maybe then it'll be a more enjoyable experience. But for now, I'd say it's probably best to avoid that, yeah.
Can we back up a moment? There's probably a lot of people who don't even know what we're talking about when we talk about Fortnite or why they should care. Can you describe what Fortnite is and how it recently, you know, came to be the premier, I guess the premier first-person shooter that people are playing?
Yeah, so it's a battle royale game inspired by games like H1Z1 and Battlegrounds.
And what does battle royale mean?
So there's in Fortnite, there's 100 players, and you'll get dropped on an island. Everyone starts out with nothing, so you have no weapons and no equipment, so you have to loot first. You need to go and find some weapons and med kits and grenades, things like that. And then you basically fight it out to be the last alive. But over time, a storm comes in and it reduces the size of the map. So if you get stuck in the storm, you obviously die. And the storm will reduce the size of the map. So the remaining players are all forced closer together. And your only mission really is to be the last alive. I think what's made Fortnite so popular is it helps that it's free. But it's just much more enjoyable to play than other Battle Royale games. It's kind of, you don't need to be good at it to have fun with it, I don't think. Especially if you play with other people, you can be terrible at the game, but still have a laugh.
Well, that you just described me. this is one of the most fun, one of the most challenging games I've ever played. And the only part I would add to it is, unlike other first-person shooters, this game has a building element to it, which is critical to doing well in the game. So instead of just running around and shooting people, you have a skill set that allows you to build forts. And you can construct structures on the fly, walls, roofs, ramps. And the best players are extremely, wizardly good at doing this. So you'll run up to a guy and you're getting ready to shoot him, and all of a sudden he starts building a tower underneath himself and he rises himself 30 feet off the ground, and you're standing there like scratching your head thinking, what the hell just happened? And now all of a sudden he's got the drop on you because he's 30 feet above you standing in his own tower and he's shooting down at you and you can't escape because you suck at building. I pretty much described every single Fortnite game I've had in the last week. And some of these guys, they build these structures blindingly fast. You can't even see what they're doing when you watch the replays because they are so instinctual and they have all of these building controls down to muscle memory. Like this one guy who recently came into popularity, I would say more globally, because he played a game with Drake, you know, the rapper Drake, and it blew up Twitch. Everyone was like, oh my gosh, this guy from Twitch who's been getting popularity, he's popular, but he's not mainstream popular. Most people don't know who he is. He was all of a sudden on Twitch, and they kind of all of a sudden overnight mainstreamed broadcasting video game playing live, and he and Drake were playing together, and all of a sudden Fortnite just, it blew up into the stratosphere. Now everyone is talking about Fortnite, and this dude streams this game live, as I mentioned. And if you're not familiar with streaming games live, the people who stream games live can make money doing this, and they can make a lot of money. They get donations from the people who are watching, and then plus people subscribe to their channel and pay them a monthly fee like they pay Netflix. So this guy was more honest than anyone usually is, and he said he was making $500,000 a month playing Fortnite, and he's only getting more popular. I was just looking at his YouTube channel. He recently hit 5 million subscribers. This was like a week ago, and now he's already at 5.5 million subscribers. He's one of the fastest growing channels on YouTube, and all he does is play Fortnite and stream on Twitch. It's incredible. It's like this whole phenomenon that is amazing to see happen. Anyway, so this game is incredibly complicated. You can play it on PC, you can play it on Xbox, you can play it on PlayStation, and it's all free. So when this iOS version came along, I was thinking, this is going to totally suck. There's no way this game is going to be nearly as much fun as the actual Fortnite game on PC. It's going to be like using the text version of the internet, like remember with flip phones? That's what it's going to be. It's going to be Fortnite in name only. So I was shocked to hear that you've been having fun with it. You've been playing it pretty often, right, Killian?
Yeah, I think it's brilliant. We should probably say that at the moment you need an invite to play it. Epic Games is adding new players gradually so that the servers don't get overloaded and no one can play. But once you get an invite, the experience is exactly the same. It's not watered down. Nothing's been taken away. And I actually find the mobile game more enjoyable because everyone's on a level playing field. No one's mastered the touch controls yet. And the building that you were talking about earlier, it's still important, but because you can't build as fast as you can on PC or console, you don't have to fight with these pros who can erect towers in seconds. You stand a much greater chance of doing well than you do on other platforms, I think.
Can we start? Is there a way to start like a clan in Fortnite so we can all play together?
Well, you can all team up with, you can share your Epic Games account and join a squad. Yeah.
Okay, then that's what I need to do. I'm so new to this game that I don't even know half of how anything works. All I've been doing for the last week, I kid you not, all I've been doing for the last week is watching Fortnite videos on YouTube.
Wow.
Tutorials, what the best weapons are, where all the best drops are, and I still suck bad. Bad. But I am getting kills now.
I was going to say, if only you could find
a
bunch of tips for how to do it.
Yeah, if only there was a guide that you could read that was oriented for beginners, where would you find such a guide?
On that, there's that little website called Cult of Mac.
Uh-huh. Let me see. I don't like to visit that website, but I'll put a link to it in case other people want to check it out. Yeah, I'll link to this guide that Killian did in the show notes if you want to check it out. But again, you just said you can't even play it right away. You have to go on a waiting list, right, to play the beta?
Yeah, you have to sign up for an invite, but it seems like you don't have to wait very long at all. Lewis, did you say you got an invite today?
Yeah. I requested one yesterday, and I got the invite sometime overnight. Unfortunately, when I clicked the link in the email, it I don't know, for some reason it doesn't work. So I don't know if I've been blackballed already. just not smart enough to click a link. Don't know. Maybe it hasn't yet kicked in or whatever. I mean, it just keeps saying, only available in the App Store. And it's like, yeah, on my phone. That's where I am. And I don't know.
Well, if you download the game from as soon as you've got that email, your Epic account has been added to the list. So you can just go and download the game from the App Store now, sign in with the same account that you signed up for the invite with, and it should just let you in.
Okay. Yeah, well, see, obviously not smart enough to do it. When I clicked the link and it said, sorry, this doesn't work, that was enough for me. You can see how completely dedicated I am to getting this game and taking the rest of the afternoon off and reading your article.
What was the last time you played a game like this? Or
I do enjoy one first-person shooter game. It's called Darts.
Yeah. It's not a video game, though, right? It's just
that's
you
correct,
throwing darts
sir.
At the board.
Actual pieces of metal that you throw it around.
Yeah, with. You're going to do great at this game.
Yeah, I can't wait to get in there and get clobbered by a bunch of 12-year-olds.
Clobbered, yeah. You're entering a whole world of pain. You have no idea.
I'm a dead man walking. Yeah,
you're a dead man, dude. It is a lot of fun, though, I have to say. All I have wanted to do for the last week is just play Fortnite. I've probably spent 10 hours on the game. And it is. It's so hard. These guys, like you said, they have been playing for 2 years now. I think that's how long the Battle Royale mode has been out. And they're so good at building that when you go into a game, because there's no practice mode, which I actually think is something that they're missing. They need to let you go into a practice mode and practice building with like unlimited resources, give you access to guns and target practice to help out the newer people, because basically they just toss you into a game with these insanely good veterans and these guys have no mercy on you. And you'll be playing with a guy who has, 500,000 hours of experience under his belt. And you go in and you're just expected to compete with him. And there's no way you can. I mean, go watch. I'll link to this other guy who I've been watching a lot. His name's Ninja. I mentioned him before. He is probably the best Fortnite player out there. And it's like watching an Olympic level athlete. It's like watching Yoda fight in Attack of the Clones. I mean, he's jumping all around the place. He's doing force mind tricks on people. And he's moving so fast that you literally, like, you see what he's doing, but you can't even tell what he's doing because he's moving so quick that you can't even tell what is happening. It's just mind-blowing to watch him. He is a master at Fortnite, and it's really fun to watch him do his thing. Anyway.
I had a quick question. Has he paid for special powers or something? I mean, I saw something like they've earned, like, $1.5 million in in-app purchases just in the past couple
of
days?
No, so Fortnite, you can buy different outfits and cosmetic goods, but none of the goods that you buy actually affect the gameplay.
So it's literally just people pimping out their little avatar
exactly.
or whatever.
Exactly.
Huh.
Exactly.
I thought maybe, you could spend $100 and, buy a bubonic plague bomb or something.
The bubonic chronic? No, that's entirely different. So... Most companies don't do that. Most companies will sell you, many companies, I should say, will sell you cosmetic things that you can use to alter the look of your character. But some companies do sell you skills or weapons. I've heard a lot of people complain about Star Wars Battlefront 2 because EA built in microtransactions into that game. You can actually buy things that make you better than other people. Mm-hmm. And gamers generally really despise those business practices and are very vocal about them when they find them in games because it affects the outcome of the game. And if some guy spends 100 hours getting good at the game and then some noob can come in and buy a weapon for $100 that makes him better than you, that's not fair, I don't think. Thankfully, Epic doesn't do that. They just throw you in with the sharks and let you get destroyed, torn apart.
But you could do it wearing a really fancy hat.
You could do it wearing a shark hat. Yeah, a shark cape if you want. Yeah, they have all sorts of cool paraphernalia that you could buy. I'm tempted to buy some myself, actually. Alrighty, well, I'll include links to everything that we talked about in the show notes if you guys want to check anything out. Let's go ahead and wrap it up there. That's all the Coldcast we have for you guys this week. Hey, if you want to meet up in Fortnite and or talk about any of the stories we mentioned on today's show, we're on Twitter. I'm at Airfon. I almost said Buster. I'm in such a habit of just rattling these off. Lewis is at Lewis Wallace. Killian is at Killian Bell. Straightforward enough. This has been the Coldcast, the best 30-plus minute app conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Coldcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys next time. Hopefully in Fortnite. You can come in and be my personal bodyguard.
I'll be the guy in the, what'd you say, shark hat?
Yeah, the shark hat. And when the bullets start flying, I'll just dive behind you.
I'm an excellent human shield.
Yeah, it's like in the movies. I'll just grab you from behind and just let the bullets pelt you as I'm running away.
Awesome.
Where are you at exactly, Killian?
A little place called Worcester.
Worcester.
Yeah.
Is that near London?
Not really, no.
Mm. How did you meet Leander?
I just emailed him when I was, I think I was still at school, actually. And I asked him whether he had any jobs going and went from there.
Did he offer to let you work for free?
Yeah, I did work for free initially.
There we go.
Really?
Yeah, I think we all did.
Wow.
That's how I met him, too. I just emailed. Actually, I emailed Nicole
Martinelli.
Martinelli, that's right.
Wow.
That's right. She covered my graphic t-shirt company, and I emailed her. Yeah, that's right. I emailed her to thank her, and then we kind of got into this conversation. I said, you know, I like talking about Apple stuff. You know, could I help you guys out in any way? And there's his history.
Wow.
Had you not heard that story?
No.
Yeah, well, there you go. There you go.
Now
you
know. Rags to something or other.
Rags to poverty. rags to much work for little reimbursement.